as Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The plate coverage is there. In this most recent stretch, he's been able to get on top of some fastballs that have been either at the top of the strike zone or above for some power, obviously. I think the way he's going about it, given the physical condition he's in, is a strong message to the remainder of this team.
Well, what do you think the manager's getting to right there? What's he talking about? Interesting comment last night by John Farrell after the Red Sox defeated the Minnesota Twins. What was the final? 4-1? 4-1 final over at Fenway Park. Chris Sale wins again. We'll get to Sale a little bit more in a minute. This Red Sox team starting to feel like a one-man show to me. A one-man show. And that man, obviously, is Chris Sale. So we'll get to him in just a bit. 617-779-0985. I will ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, to open up the phone lines right away. But that comment from Farrell, boy, really stuck out. Because, again, I'm getting more and more impatient with Hanley Ramirez. And I should tell you, by the way, Jim Murray is not here tonight. Murray, I think, is out for the rest of the week. No fool he. As soon as the summer book comes along, what does Murray do? Hops on a plane, gets out of town. See you later. Adios. Tim McCone is in for Murray. Jared Karabas with us, as he is every Tuesday. Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports, and of course, you, the Red Sox fan, the baseball fan, the caller, 617-779-0985. And let me just say quickly that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com, a new service from Gillette, proving, by the way, that you don't have to sacrifice quality for value. Check it out, GilletteOnDemand.com. Now, that aside, we're going to play that comment from Farrell again. Okay, so this is Farrell talking about Mitch Moreland after last night's game, and before we even play it, remember that Hanley missed the game last night because he got hit on the knee by a pitch, and I was surprised that he finished the game on Sunday when he got hit. He showed up at the ballpark yesterday. They put him in the lineup. Then he gets scratched, and he wasn't in there, and he's not playing again tonight. And twice this year, when Hanley Ramirez has played first base, he's gone on to miss the next three games. There have been rumors of shoulder issues all year with Hanley. I've reached the point with Hanley where I just don't think he's given him anything. So we'll get to him too, Jared. But last night, Moreland homers for the third straight game. And again, here's what John Farrell said about Mitch Moreland.
The plate coverage is there. In this most recent stretch, he's been able to get on top of some fastballs that have been either at the top of the strike zone or above for some power, obviously. I think the way he's going about it, given the physical condition he's in, is a strong message to the remainder of this team.
Strong message to the remainder of this team. That you got a guy playing hurt. I will play through injury, and not only will I play, I'll play well. I told you, Jared, at the beginning of the year, I thought Moreland was a hack. And I still do, largely. But I will say, he's produced for them. He's been a good player for them.
He's been better than good.
He's really, the OPS is over 800.
Well, he's leading the team.
I mean, he's given them a good year so far. It was a smart signing. You get a guy in this ballpark, left-handed hitter in a contract year, basically. It's a one-year deal, a play-for-pay kind of deal. Perfect. Perfect. It looks like they made a good move there. Who's the manager talking about? If it's not Hanley, who is it?
I'm not saying it's not Hanley. I just think that it's more than Hanley. So did you happen to catch that Jeff Passan column that came out yesterday?
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
to refresh my memory.
Yeah, it said that the Red Sox had been scouting Sonny Gray.
Yes, I did read it.
Yeah, he said that was, they might be interested in Sonny Gray, but they're also looking to add a power-hitting third baseman and a Tyler Thornburg-type reliever because Tyler Thornburg is missing the rest of the season with the shoulder injury. But don't they already, have a Tyler Thornburg type?
Who?
Carson Smith.
So you think that Smith can come back and pitch at a high level?
I think that the Red Sox are a little bit frustrated with how long it's taken Carson Smith to come back from said injury.
Okay. So that Farrell's comment last night you think was at least in part related to Carson Smith and how long it's taking?
Yeah, I think that, Carson Smith, his return is taking longer than I think the team originally thought it would.
Okay, so just quickly, Carson Smith had Tommy John surgeries at the end of last May?
Yes.
Early June, around there?
Yep.
Okay, so, and typically Tommy John's about a year out.
Yep.
And so a year before you're back on the mound, it's really 2 years before you're back to being entirely who you are, mm-hmm. or at least 18 months anyway, somewhere in that area. So obviously you're hearing this in the clubhouse or whatever.
Yeah, I was just told, it wasn't John Farrell specifically, but I was told that they are kind of frustrated with how long it's taken Smith to return. And that's not to say, and to your point, Tony, it does take that long for a guy to be back to 100% normal. And I don't think that they're really looking for Smith to come back and be the Carson Smith that he was in 2015 with Seattle. I just think that they think he could help out now, I mean, versus just doing absolutely nothing for them.
Look, I mean, I've seen this before where, you know, they think a guy is ready to play, ready to pitch, and he just has to fight through some discomfort, and it's part of the rehab. Like, you get to this stage where there's a mental hurdle or a mental block, and, you know, maybe you're a little afraid, and you start to feel something in your elbow again, and, uh-oh, I got to shut it down. And the teams and the team and the doctors will tell you, you're going to feel some stuff here, but you have to pitch through it. That's part of the deal. Maybe they're at that stage.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Okay, maybe they're at that stage with Carson Smith. But you say, yourself said a second ago, it's not necessarily that they're leaving Hanley out. You think it could also be about Hanley?
Of course. Of course, yeah. I mean, you have, it's just, I guess, laughable at this point that he's using any and every excuse that he can to not play first base. You know, and you even said it, you know, if he gets hit on the knee, watch, he's not going to be in the lineup the next night. And he wasn't. And you know, you have him out of the lineup again tonight, right? They released the lineup. He's not in it.
Correct.
So we were talking about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about how, or my point was, if he's not healthy enough to play first base, then he's not healthy enough to be on the active roster. Call up Sam Travis. He can play first base, or he can DH. You can have Chris Young DH. You can have Mitch Moreland switch in and out of first base. Especially in a time now when I think it's not so much, okay, we're in a National League ballpark, can you play first base? It's more, hey, this guy's toe is broken, can you play first base? And he did at the beginning of it for one game, and that was it. But to use the excuse of, you know, I tweaked my neck turning the wrong way, and that's why I can't play first base. One of the things that I keep coming back to is, you know, You wouldn't know anything about this, Tony, no offense, but Christian Vasquez posted a Instagram live video of himself working out in the Red Sox gym there that they have. Hanley Ramirez is in there just pumping crazy weight. His shoulders look fine. So that's why it's like, you know, I hate to tell a guy, hey, you're not hurt, go do this. I'm looking at it with my eyes, you know. I would imagine that if you're not healthy enough, if your neck isn't good enough to play first base, to stand there and you know, stick your glove out, how is it healthy enough to swing a bat? Like, there's definitely more torque on your neck in the batter's box than there is playing first base.
So was he doing, just out of curiosity, was Hanley doing like a bench press or something? What?
I think he was
shoulder press?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But he was lifting.
Yeah, he was lifting. Yeah, he was lifting weights.
Yeah, look, with Hanley, I don't think there is any real injury. Again, that's my opinion.
Well, I mean, he got hit. We saw him get hit on the knee. I mean,
okay,
that's
something
legitimate.
That should keep you out of the lineup. I mean, as a DH, get up there and hit. Nobody's expecting you to run anyway. Just take a swing. So look, with Hanley, again, he might be hurt, Jared. I'm just telling you, I've reached the point with Hanley where he's not hitting. I don't care whether he's hurt or he's not. I'd put him on the DL. If he says he's got bad shoulders, put him on the DL. So, and I said this last night, I'd give Devers a crack as a designated hitter. If they don't want to put him in the field defensively, so be it. Don't. They don't think he's ready to play third base. No problem. Don't. DH him.
You're going to let him skip AAA altogether?
Sure. Why not? It's been done.
It has been done with more polished players, though.
So what? Give it a shot. Who knows?
Well, because you have better options.
Like what?
Like Sam Travis and Chris Young.
Okay, fine. I'm Sam Travis. I'm good with that, too. You want a DH Sam Travis? I'm good with that.
So, and we talked about this, I think, last week about Devers' defense at third base. So if he's not ready to come to the major league level because of his defense at third base, I'd much rather have Sam Travis or Chris Young at DH and let Devers figure out defense at third base, because he's going to be your third baseman of the future. Why pause his development at third base for a DH spot when you have guys who can do it?
Okay, so the only reason I mentioned Devers and not Travis, but I'm okay with Travis too, is because Devers hits left-handed.
Right.
And I say, you know, Travis feels like he beats up on left-handed pitching. I actually wanted to platoon them. this is what you do. DH Devers against righties, Travis against lefties. But to me, if you put Hanley on, you bring Devers up, and you know, and you figure it out with Travis at first base against left-handers, Chris Young's the DH, Moreland sits two, and increase the depth of your roster. Honestly, I've reached the point where I think they'd be a better team that way. And Pablo factors in there, too. Like, well, we may never see him again. I don't think we're going to see him till after the All-Star break now. Please. And I just, that whole signing of those two guys, that winter, to me, the whole thing I'm done with. I'm done with. I want the Red Sox to move on from both of those clowns. And Hanley's under contract, so they're going to, you know, they're going to fight that one out a little longer. But Pablo, see you later. I really have reached the point where I'm done with both of those guys. I want to get to Chris Sale, too. Because, again, it feels to me like the Red Sox, one-man team. One-man team. Seven games over when Sale pitches. One game over when anyone else on the mound. It feels like the Pedro Red Sox of the late 90s, early 2000s. They won when he pitched. The rest of the time, they were average.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's swinging, and down he goes. Sale strikes him out.
Yeah, he saved the slider for him when he knew he was going to swing. That was nicely done. He just threw three fastballs in and a slider in the dirt to put him away. Beautiful.
Now here comes John Farrell. Nine strikeouts for Chris Sale. And so that'll do it for the Red Sox ace. He'll leave behind a couple of men on base. But he has the lead and a chance to win it. And a crowd at Fenway showing their appreciation for Chris Sale.
Another good game for Chris Sale last night. Again, Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports here as he is every Tuesday. Murray's out for the rest of the week, so Tim McCone's here. So do you know what the Red Sox record is now when Chris Sale pitches?
What is it, 11-3 or something like that?
11-4. 11-4 in the 15 starts. It's seven games over. They're eight over as a team. Okay, so 11-4. The rest of the time, they're 31-30. 31-30, 61 games. That's a big sample. That's no small sample. And you know what I'm starting to fear, Jared?
What?
That Chris Sale's going to have this magnificent season for nothing. For nothing. And when I say for nothing, they might make the playoffs, they might win the wild card, but unless some other stuff happens, he's not going to make a difference. I've seen, and when I say make a difference, he's not going to get them into the LCS, he's not going to get them into the World Series, and they're certainly not going to win it unless some things change and Porcello starts pitching better, or Eduardo Rodriguez comes back and pitches well, the bullpen gets sorted out. Yeah, I know Matt Barnes was good last night, but he's still inconsistent. Unless they get more consistency offensively, I'm starting to fear that they're going to blow this. And when I say blow it, I mean Sale's performance. It's starting to remind me a little bit of what it was like with Pedro. A little bit.
98-99.
So 99, I just looked it up. Pedro appeared in 31 games. He had two relief appearances that year. One was on the final weekend of the season, I think, when they were just trying to get him a little work. The other one was earlier in the year, and I don't know if you remember this. There was a day he was late, and Jimmy Williams started Bryce Flory instead of Pedro and then brought Pedro in relief in the fourth inning, and Pedro pitched the last six.
Yeah.
So it was really a start, but he didn't get credit for it. In any case, in the 31 games Pedro pitched in, the Red Sox were 26-5. They were 21 games over. They won 93 games that year. Or they were 93-69. Or actually, It was 92-70 that year. So they finished 22 over, 21 of them were with Pedro on the mound. And it's starting to feel the same way with me with Chris Sale. Look, the guy's magnificent.
Some of those losses, too. I mean, if you look at the three games that they lost with Chris Sale on the mound, I believe that his ERA and those losses are like, it's under two. So one of those losses was the 1-0 loss in Philly.
I mean, where would they be without this guy?
I mean, if like you said, if you remove him entirely, a game over 500, so very mediocre, the definition of mediocre, which is kind of what we were talking about, what this team might be just in general, even with Chris Sale, they're mediocre. But you look at the rest of the division, and it's astonishing that the Red Sox, you know, you looked up after the weekend after losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels, and they were still tied for first place. And I think they went, I think they lost 6 out of 10 games going into that, coming out of Sunday, and they went from 2 games out to tied for first place, going over a 4-6 stretch.
Okay, so we'll get to the whole tied for first place nonsense.
Oh, God, I heard this.
That sent Shaughnessy into orbit today on the Midday Show. We'll get to that in just a minute. But again, I just remind everybody.
My problem is with you.
We have Shaughnessy's problems with everybody.
I know, Dan.
We have a couple of open phone lines, 617-779-0985. You want to
check in? No, you're not.
So let me ask Carabas, while Shaughnessy continues to interrupt. Let me ask Carabas.
It is not a tie.
The same question I asked Murray yesterday, and we had Nick Cafardo of the Globe on the phone, too.
Yeah.
The Red Sox at this stage, given where they are, given what they have shown, how much do you invest in them at the deadline? Big, little, somewhere in between, not at all?
I would say so what I wrote about yesterday after that Sonny Gray column came out with, you need to go get a power-hitting third baseman in the power reliever. I'm looking at, you want to add, you have to add, but do you have to go big? You know, some guys are writing, you know, they should put together this huge package for Josh Donaldson. No, they shouldn't. You can make this team better with a small move here and a small move there. And if it is Todd Frazier, a rental, okay, maybe. But the guy I'm looking at is Jed Lowry of the A's. I mean, he's a switch hitter. He can play third base. He's played in this market before. He's owed $6 million this year, so it's not going to cost you all that much this year. I think he has an option for next year. It's $6.5 million.
His option or a club option?
I believe it's a club option, so he's affordable. And I think the A's are, they're in last place. So you're not going to, like with Moustakas, you're talking about a guy that is on a team that could still contend. So I think Moustakas is a guy that you got to just get out of your head. I don't think that they're going to sell. They want one more run with this core. Fine, go do that. But Jed Lowry, I think, is a very interesting name to bring up, because I want to say he's one double shy of tying Mookie Betts for the league lead in doubles. So, I mean, you're not going to, when they say power hitting third baseman, I mean, you're not going to go out and get a Josh Donaldson. And Frazier, yeah, he hits home runs, but he's hitting 200 on the year. I'd rather have the more solid, well-rounded hitter that has doubles power in Jed Lowry than shoot for the moon on some of these other names that have been talked about.
Jared, I don't want them to give up a prospect that would that's going to be required to be, you know, a Donaldson type of deal.
Oh, God, no.
I don't want them to do that. I honestly, they haven't shown me enough to make me want to invest in it that much. Being as blunt as possible, why would you go up and give up more young talent for this team when they've played the way they've played? And I don't mean that they've played badly. They've been pretty good, all things considered. But they were supposed to run away with this division. If the Yankees hadn't gone 2-10 or whatever the hell it was over a 12-game stretch, you might be 4 or 5 back still. And even so, like, this to me should be more about more than the wild card. So the only issue I would have with Lowry is, according to Alex Spear of the Globe the other day, they have about $9 million, and it's actually less now that they've added Fister, right? Because Fister's
was prorated at 175.
Okay, so Fister's $1 million.
Yeah.
So it's a little less than that, right? A little less than the nine. I mean, now maybe you're down to eight. $8 million you have in room to stay under the luxury tax. They're going to blow 6 of that, or I get it. Lowry's would be a prorated 6.
Right.
So you call it 3.
4.
3 or 4. Yeah. Okay? But I don't know. Do you want to spend that much on that kind of guy? Does that substantially improve you?
So you asked me this question a few weeks ago. You know, at the trade deadline, what area do you look to upgrade? The rotation, the bullpen, or third base? Prioritize those. I said the bullpen. But let me ask you this question. Which of those areas do you think has cost the Red Sox the most games?
Third base.
Right. So you obviously, if you go out and get a Carson Smith or Thornburg type to bolster the bullpen, does it make you a better team? Yes. But which area has cost the team the most games? And it's their offense. It's you know, the lack of, they hit for average, they get on base, but they don't have enough guys to drive in the guys that are on base. So if Jed Lowry's up there and hitting a bunch of doubles and he can play third base, I think that that's a guy that you should take a look at. Like, what's he going to cost? Probably not a lot. He's 33, and he's a rental, and it's Oakland.
See, you know what my problem is I look at it and I say, which is more likely to play better going forward, the bullpen or the lineup? And I feel like it's the lineup. But in any case, 617-779-0985. Matt's in New Hampshire. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, are you going to give Porcello the same type of credit that you're giving Pedro back in 99? I mean, the Red Sox were 24 games over 500 last year, and Porcello gave them, I think, 22 wins. Do you think that that's all in part of Porcello's performance, or I just want to see if I'm understanding how you're comparing the two?
Yeah, no, it's a legitimate point. Porcello had a better supporting cast, though, than Pedro did way back when. And weren't the Red Sox like 18 and 12 or something when David Price pitched?
Your guess is better than mine. I was just wanted to hear what you had to say. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Yeah, so my answer is ultimately no. I don't give Porcello the same kind of credit. I appreciate the question, but no, I don't. This guy to me is different. Sale's a guaranteed good outing every time he goes out. And obviously there were no guarantees. He had a couple of bad ones in there. But the guy never gets boxed. He never gets knocked out in the fourth inning. It never happens. What's his shortest outing of the year? Six?
Five innings against Chicago.
Did they win that game?
I don't think so. I think
he had a garbage night that night.
Yeah, he's made 16 starts, and in 13 of them, he's recorded at least one out in the seventh.
Okay. I mean, like, you know, to me, you can build your whole bullpen around a guy like that. You set up your whole pitching structure around a guy like that. Quickly, my buddy Angelo's in Methuen. Angelo, what do you got?
How you doing? Yeah, Tony, about the third base situation. If the Royals fall out of contention, wouldn't it be the best thing to go in the Moustakas than Jed Lowry?
So, Angelo, look, I like Moustakas too. My question, though, is whether or not they're really going to spend the money to go over that tax, which pisses me off and pissed me off a long time ago, and everybody thought I was being an a-hole about it. But nonetheless, I can't stand that part of it. And also, what's it going to take to get them? I'm not giving up. The big thing for me is the prospects. I couldn't give two craps about the luxury tax. You know, it bugs me that the Red Sox are intent on staying under it. But if they are intent on staying under it, don't you think, Jared, they're going to do exactly what they're doing right now? Peralta, Doug Fister. I mean, they're just picking out of the dumpster.
Well, I mean, that's why Jed Lowry's the name, because you can stay under with Jed and you're not getting a Johnny Peralta dumpster type player.
Okay.
You're getting a good player there. Not a good player, but a good enough player.
Yeah, Lowry's a solid player.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He'll give you a good at bat.
Smartest guy in the room, too.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. He's a Stanford guy, right? He's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he got all pissed off at me when you were in the playoffs because I asked him if he thought the Red Sox were going to pinch hit for him, and he looked at me like, why would they pinch hit for me?
Because you suck, that's
why.
Well,
and that's sort of what I wanted to say, but I wasn't about to say it to his face. In any case, I want to get into Sale a little bit more. This story's been out there for a little while on Sale and sort of his routine and the relationship with the catcher and all that, but I want to touch on that.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tell the truth with those standings out there. Don't pander to the lowest common denominator, the pink hats. Make people think you're in first place when you're not. Yes, it is a virtual tie. But the numbers are, the Yankees are 41-33. The Red Sox are 42-34. They're not telling the truth on this. The first place team is the New York Yankees. It's a small thing. The percentage points right now are 5-5-4 for New York, 5-5-3 for Boston. No newspaper in America, including the John Henry-owned Boston Globe, would publish standings any way other than the team with the higher percentage goes there. But for some reason, they feel compelled to insult the intelligence of their fans who come in and say, oh, we're in first place, we're ahead of the Yankees. No, you're not. You will be maybe at the end of tonight. We don't know. It's been this way for 3 or 4 days because the teams have been lockstep for the last 3 or 4 days. They both won last night. So I'm just begging, please, don't do this to your fans. Don't insult everybody.
Back here on the Baseball Reporters, I heard that live today in my car. Shaughnessy, I almost drove off the road. Shaughnessy flipping out on the midday show. He was so mad his hair was straight. Like he was losing his mind, Shaughnessy. Losing his mind. All because of the left field scoreboard at Fenway Park. The Red Sox have Boston listed ahead of New York when the reality is that New York is in first place. New York's in first place. by a percentage point, but nonetheless, they were in first place. Did you hear this?
That was the most fired up that I've heard Dan Shaughnessy since I told him that he needed to use his webcam as a part of coming on my podcast.
Do you agree with him?
Partly. I agree with, you know, the Red Sox putting themselves over the Yankees on the Green Monster is annoying. I think it's petty, and it's, yeah, it does cater to those, you know, fans that are, yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it because they shouldn't be there. If you look at, I don't agree with the whole, no, the Yankees are in first place, not the Red Sox.
They are.
No. How many games back in first place the Red Sox? Zero. They're tied for first place. I don't care about percentage points because the counter to that is, well, if the season ended today, then the Red Sox would be in the wild card. Well, guess what? It's June. The season doesn't end today.
It's not a tie.
It's not a tie.
It's a virtual tie.
Okay, it's a virtual tie. Fine.
Right.
Virtual reality.
How many games
No,
back?
You're not.
I'm just telling you.
How many games back are the Red Sox?
Zero.
Tell the truth.
Zero.
Right.
They have one more loss than the Yankees.
So that's why I said partly I agree with
him. It is not a tie.
The Yankees should be above the Red Sox on the Green Monster because of the percentage point, but they're both in first place.
It is not a tie.
I do tend to agree, though, that the idea of putting them first on the left field scoreboard is kind of a weaselly move.
It is.
Tell the truth.
It's a weaselly move, and there was a season in
2005.
When they both went 95-67, I think.
2005.
Right? 2005, and on the left field scoreboard at Fenway Park, they listed the Red Sox first, even though the Yankees technically won the division based on a tiebreaker.
Because, they put themselves ahead because of alphabetical order.
Yeah. And that's a nice way to... That's how they solve division titles now, is they do it by alphabetical order.
No, you're not.
That is how they do it.
I mean, that's why it pays to be the Arizona Diamondbacks, because you start with the letter A, babe.
If you have the exact identical record, it is by alphabetical order. That is how they do it.
Yeah, but except that year the Red Sox were the wild card team.
Correct, but they finished with the exact same record.
They were the wild card team because they lost to the Yankees head to head.
Correct.
Okay, so that means that they did not.
It
win
is not
the division.
A tie.
No,
they did not win the division. Let's squeeze in a couple of more.
It
calls
is not
here.
A tie.
Scott's and Bill Ricka. Scott, what do you got?
Hey, how much easier would it be for the trade market if either of the relievers that Dombrowski traded for worked out, and then we just have a slam dunk at third base where we could trade there?
Yeah, Scott, listen, those deals that he made, and obviously the caller's talking about Tyler Thornburg and Carson Smith the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you gave up a significant amount of resources for Thornburg. You made and you had to do that because the Smith deal didn't work out. If you had either one of those guys, of course it would make all the difference in the world, let alone if you had both of them.
Well, that's why you need to take Thornburg out of the equation and just look at it as, right now, they need a power-hitting third baseman and a setup guy to Craig Kimbrell beyond Joe Kelly. You could still have Travis Shaw, and if Carson Smith never needed Tommy John and he was just healthy, then there you go. There's your power-hitting third baseman, and there's your setup guy.
McCone, what would you do? What would first of all, would you invest in this team significantly, and where?
No, I'm with you guys. I would make minor moves if possible, but I'm not giving up any major assets here moving forward to try and help this team win.
And what would you try to fix first?
Probably third base as well as you guys, yeah. That would be I think that's the glaring
weakness
right now.
Don't lump me with him. I'm taking the bullpen. I'm still going bullpen. Third base is less of a concern for me. Steve is in Saugus. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, what's up, bud?
What's going on?
I enjoy you, man. Hey, a couple of things I wanted to point out. Number one, Lowry sounds like a good thing to me. He can play third base, I'm sure. He hits the ball. He's not a home run hitter, but he'll hit 15, and he knocks in runs, hits doubles. The only problem is you're dealing with the shrewd Billy Beane. And what does Billy Beane always look for? Prospects. What do the Red Sox not have right now because of Dombrowski? Prospects, right?
Steve, you know what Billy Beane also looks to do? He looks to screw the Red Sox in any deal he can.
Yeah. Oh, anytime. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, and the Red Sox just think that way, too. But and another point I want to make is this, too. Regarding Moreland, the guy's playing with a broken foot. Is that what it is? A broken toe, whatever?
Yes.
Guys, the unsung hero of the team this year. I thought he might hit 18, 20 home runs, maybe hit 260. He's not an average hitter, but he's knocking in runs. He's going to come out with maybe 25 to 30 homers, 90 RBIs, playing for his base every day. I mean, you got to admit that wasn't a bad signing. I thought at first it was okay, but I think it's he turned out to be the unsung hero at this point. What do you guys think?
Okay, Steve. So I'll tell you what, Jared. Would it be wrong for me to give Dave Dombrowski credit finally for maybe Mitch Moreland over just about any other move he's made. Like, when you look at it, David Price, they just threw a pile of money at.
Yep.
Chris Sale was the best pitcher out there, and you gave up a couple of good prospects, one in particular that was the best-rated prospect in the game. So, again, any of us could have...
Same thing with Pomerantz.
Okay, so any of us could have identified the talent, and Pomerantz hasn't really worked out all that well.
Not yet.
He's okay.
As of late.
Okay, he's okay, but Price, any of us could have identified Price.
Yep.
Any of us could have identified Craig Kimbrell at that time as a guy to get. Any of us could have identified Chris Sale. But Moreland feels to me like one of the first moves that Dombrowski has made that you would say, you know what, there's an under-the-radar, lower-cost, you know, I don't want to say risky because that's not the wrong word, but take a flyer on a guy kind of signing that he hit on. To me, it feels like for the first time, there's a guy.
Well, because if he had signed Edwin Encarnacion like everyone else wanted him to replace David Ortiz, then Encarnacion would have been added to the list of anyone could have done that. Anyone could have just thrown money at the top power-hitting free agent on the market to fill that void for you. And he replaced, he didn't replace David Ortiz, but he did fill that void in the lineup and at first base with a guy who is probably outperforming Edwin Encarnacion this year, which obviously you're not going to bank on that for the life of Encarnacion's deal versus the next 3-4 years of Mitch Moreland. But, you know, on a 1-year deal, it's worked out great.
I mean, to me, you know, overall, that's a good signing. That one is a good signing. Andrew is online, too. Is he there? Oh, no, he isn't there. He isn't. Or is he? Andrew, you there? Let me try that again. Yeah, Andrew, you there?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Matt, about wanting to go ahead and try to make a small move for the bullpen, but I don't think I trust Dombrowski to analyze another pitcher. I think in this case I'd rather have him go for a hitter because I think I trust his judgment in that better than pitching.
Okay, so, Jared, what about that side of it? So, like, if they were to make a bullpen deal, do you have faith that Dombrowski can identify the right guy?
It's not even about identifying the right guy. Of course he can identify the right guy, but it's a matter of what's it going to cost. Because if you had to give up Travis Shaw plus three other prospects to get Tyler Thornburg, what's it going to cost you to get a guy like Tyler Thornburg again? It's going to cost a lot. If that's the going rate for a reliever, which, by the way, Dave, you set that market. Every single pitcher that he's brought in via trade, he's overpaid for. Craig Kimbrell, not so much Carson Smith, but definitely Tyler Thornburg. You set the market. You set the precedent that...
Pomerantz.
Right. If you want a power pitching reliever in the back end of your bullpen, I have that guy. Well, now we're talking multiple prospects and maybe a major league ready player.
I mean, there's no question. He overpays for pitching. He overpays for it by a lot. And so that should concern you at the deadline. I didn't even think about that. Like, Dombrowski does not have a great track record with relievers, and now you're in the market potentially for another one, because I'm sorry, I'm not buying on Matt Barnes.
What about Joe Kelly? You don't like him?
Maybe, but I don't love the fact that you can't use him in back-to-back games.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like, what's that all about? He doesn't bounce back? Is that the deal?
They're cautious because of the shoulder impingement that he had last year. He was on the disabled list from April to May with the shoulder impingement, which is basically what ended slash never even started Tyler Thornburg's season this year.
You better not get in any close games then, I guess. Like, or you better not get in on any winning streaks.
Or you better not use him when you're losing like they did on Sunday so that they couldn't use him again on Monday.
I mean, just really. There's a problem with every guy in that bullpen, really. When you get to other than Kimbrel, there's a problem with every guy out there.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.